From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 27th, 2009. Every week, Directions brings you the very latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today's topic is finding yourself in many different ways. No, we haven't become psychiatrists. We're going to discuss hybrid positioning and the variety of options that will make their way onto handsets from GPS to Wi-Fi to TV signals. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Adina, last week we picked up a press release from ABI Research, who follows a number of the location technology industries. And the headline on that was Alternative Positioning Technologies, Cell ID and Wi-Fi combined with assisted GPS will provide 25% of all positioning solutions by 2014. So what seems to be happening is that there's now a raising of the awareness of location and, in particular, all of the different methodologies and technologies that will be used to acquire a first fix to a location. And what ran through my mind is that there's going to be not only a need for putting these different types of technologies into handsets, whereby there's going to be this proliferation of devices and applications. We've already heard more about social nets, location-based advertising. But what got me thinking was that there's going to be all of these technologies out there, but generally the public thinks of only one. It only knows GPS. In fact, we'll provide a link to a little video that David Pogue of the New York Times did when he was researching geotagging. And he called all of these other positioning technologies fake GPS. In other words, and particularly he was talking about Wi-Fi technology and that provided by Skyhook Wireless. So he was referring to Wi-Fi and the ability to get a fix of position using Wi-Fi technology as fake GPS. And it got me thinking that the public knows very well what GPS is. We've come to associate GPS with, you know, location. But there are these other technologies out there. Some of them being mentioned in addition to TV and Wi-Fi is even Bluetooth and certainly RFID. So from the range of location options out there, all the way from GPS down to something more local like a Wi-Fi or an RFID, we're seeing this proliferation of location technologies out there. And I'm wondering about what's going to happen out there. What's going to happen to the building of social networks where we're more location conscious? And certainly with location-based advertising, we're going to know more about what the options are out there from retailers to whoever who are sending us messages. So what's your take on these different positioning technologies that maybe we're not all aware about?
I think the way that Pogue described it is actually perfect. There's this thing called GPS, which people know something about. I have to say that my sense is, especially as I look in the media, is most of the people writing about it don't really know how it works, but they know what it is and they know what it's supposed to do, so that's definitely a step forward. But I think this idea that there's this whole other set of things that aren't GPS, but they do things sort of like GPS, is maybe a good starting point for educating the consumer. Now, the real trick, though, for the consumer is not so much how do these things work or what are they, but what kinds of services do they provide me as an end user with one of these handsets that has a chip that, say, does Cell ID and it does RFID and maybe it does the TV signal usage for determining location? And that's where they're going to get excited. And here's sort of the ideal use of that, at least from my thinking. Not only will my device be able to get me from here to the hospital complex, it will actually be able to route me to the actual door of the specialist that I'm going to see within this huge complex in which I normally get lost. That's exciting.
Yeah, I think that's a really great example, because those are the types of things that aren't quite on the radar screen yet of the typical person.
No, well, take it one step further. Let's move out of medical and into retail. not only does it take me to the nearest Best Buy, I guess I can't say Circuit City since they're all closed, it will take me to the aisle in the store where the product is that I want to purchase.
Just even take that a step further, because we're now just getting used to using maps on a handset. What you're suggesting almost is that they're going to route you to the individual, what they call gondolas in a retail setting of where the clothes or whatever are hanging. Are we going to see maps of store floors be the next thing that will be routable?
That's exactly what my next point was going to be, which is that if you get this extra layer of location awareness of your device, you're going to need much more detailed information about those new places where you're going to be able to navigate or find your friend or whatever it happens to be. So there's some real new opportunities for those data sets. And this comes down to some problems that are already out there. I had to go to the Registrar of Probate outside of Boston. It's this huge old building, and it's got like 8 million doors. Only one of them or two of them are accessible for security reasons. Did I know where the doors were? No. Would that be really valuable for me to know if I was, say, elderly and had a cane or was in a wheelchair, or it was 5 degrees out, which in fact it was? Yes. Is that information available now in the navigation systems for the most part? No. Does that information change regularly? Yes, yes it does. So there's a lot of value to that kind of detailed level of information, the same way that where that sweater is that you might want to buy in the store is going to move from time to time.
Well, now you actually just brought in yet another piece of the puzzle here, which is, do you think this is going to result or relate to building information models such that that's going to be the layer that will be used for indoor navigation?
I think it's going to perk up interest in those models in a way that hasn't really been of interest, I think, to the navigation, the geographic side of things. The building information models have, again, from my perspective, seem to really be exciting to the people in the design of buildings and the long-term maintenance of buildings. But how that information is used by the people within those buildings or using those buildings, that we haven't quite bridged that gap yet. And this kind of location information, I think, could get us there because there's money to be made, right?
Yeah, and you know, just think of another simple example that just came to mind while you were saying that, which is, you know, how do you actually implement this stuff? How do you get people aware of using this stuff? And what I thought was, you know, okay, we're going to be tied to our handsets pretty soon. And
well, many of us already are, from what I understand.
Absolutely, and the thing is, there are some of our handsets already that have multiple location determination options, one of which, of course, is the iPhone, which had both GPS and Wi-Fi now, and that Wi-Fi is going to be taken advantage of somehow. But from the simple standpoint of a traveler in a hotel who all of a sudden finds himself needing to get out of the building because of either a fire in the building.
Right, you were in this situation, exactly.
Exactly. And so I want to push my panic button and tell me how to get out to the nearest stair or send me to the nearest fire extinguisher. It just seems that on the base level, what these people are going to play off on, what the device manufacturers might play off on, is a fear factor in that I've got to get out. And so route me to the stairs, route me to the building. Again, 9/11 was a perfect example of something like that where people didn't necessarily know what the evacuation routes are.
That's huge. And consider for a second the liability related to that kind of a solution. But also consider that's a great business. Let's say that you could be the company that made sure that the hotel, for example, that you were in Hawaii, always had up-to-date exit information. And what would happen is when you check in, you would sync with some kind of app, and it would put that latest map navigation tool right onto your device, and you'd have it while you were there, and when you left, you could delete it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now let's talk about the infrastructure that's needed at this point. So we know GPS is available. We know Wi-Fi is mostly available. And I think what Pogue had pointed out in that little TV clip that he did just recently was that about 70% of the U.S. is covered by Skyhook Wireless with their Wi-Fi positioning system. So we still have a little bit of ways to go with infrastructure in terms of those two. We have TV signals, which we've covered ROSM for years. I don't know how that business is going, but that certainly looks like another option and was also mentioned in that press release by ABI Research. So there has to be some build-out of infrastructure, and then, of course, there has to be the chipsets on the devices that have to capture a multiple location determination solutions.
Right, and that is not a trivial kind of thing. The thing that I was going to raise had to do with the difference between GPS and all these other technologies, which I think is kind of important. Wi-Fi is available to everybody, but everybody has to map them themselves. So Skyhook has its version of the map, right? And the Navizon guys have their version of the map. So all of a sudden, what's becoming distinct between these players is how good is their map and how good is it updated to get you that correct location.
Again, how good are the maps of that need to be had for some of these indoor locations, which do change sometimes frequently? So
I think there's a lot of money to be made in that. I think that your comment about how Pogue did it, I think, states that we're just not ready for all that detail yet. Just this idea that there's GPS and there are other ways is a good starting point. And as those ways start rearing their heads and handsets start becoming available that say, oh, this can read our, you know, RFID tags or whatever, people will start to know about it. But
well, the thing that Pogue raised, which I thought was interesting, was he was talking about the iFi device that was inserted into his camera. The average person doesn't really care necessarily how it works, but that it works and that it automatically uploads his photos to the website and then automatically puts them on a map.
Right.
And that's the way it should work.
Right. And you really, it's just like your car. You should be able to get into it and drive it, but you really don't care how it works.
That's the indication of a successful technology, is if you can just get in, turn the key, and go. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on another Directions Media podcast. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the ESRI Petroleum User Group Conference is taking place February 23rd through the 25th in Houston, Texas. Take advantage of this unique opportunity to communicate and collaborate with others who face the same challenges in the petroleum and pipeline industries. Visit www.esri.com/PUG for more information or to register to attend. Thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to write to us today about what we said on our podcast, on this and any other podcast, you can send us an email to editors@directionsmag.com. Please join us again next week for another Directions on the News podcast, and be sure to tell a friend.